Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Highway to the danger zone.
Lana. Lana!
What?
Danger zone.
Have you been watching Archer lately?
No, I haven't. I haven't watching it. I have not.
You have not been watching it?
No, I have not.
Hi.
I wait for the season to be over, and then I watch the whole season in one go.
Oh, you're one of those glut viewers.
I prefer like that. I watch the American Horror Story weekly.
You know, I'm not. I watch the American Horror Story.
This one is the best one by far.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really good.
All right, because you know what? I watched the first one, and I was just like, meh. But I never really caught up with the second one. I was just like, I didn't like the first one that much. Sometimes it seems like
things are getting better each time.
I think it's sometimes it was a little shocking just to be shocking. Like, it didn't serve any purpose in the story. So, I mean, that's a minor complaint. I mean, I just got too much TV to watch as is. I have to watch all my Inspector Poirot mysteries on Netflix.
Who the fuck is that?
It's the old Masterpiece Mysteries. You never watched those when you were a kid? I don't know. I used to watch it all the time. Like
Murder, She Wrote?
Kind of, except it was, you know, English and about a Belgian detective.
Angela Lansbury?
Yes, it was Angela Lansbury.
I knew it.
Working in her little Cape whatever in Maine where,
yes,
2% of the population was murdered. All right. So welcome to Tanagra. I'm your host, Darmok. And with me, as always, is
Jalad.
This is my co-host, Jalad. Welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe. And with me, as always, is the Jalad to my Darmok, Steve.
Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra.
Shaka, when the walls fell. That's a reference Steve gets. Unlike my normal ones where Steve's like, I don't get it. That's stupid. Your cultural knowledge is bullshit. Well, anyway, welcome to Game Classy. This is our...
I believe we could each spend about an hour just referencing things that the other one does not get.
Yeah, probably, pretty much. So, this is our Thanksgiving edition of the Game Classy podcast. This is...
It's where Americans eat turkey and, yeah.
Because you know we have a lot of European listeners.
You want to know why Americans are really fat? Because every one of our holidays involves eating a fuck ton of food all the time. And then you know what else we do when I'm not on the holidays? We eat a fuck ton of food all the time.
Well, actually, I believe that the fact that why Americans eat so much food at the holidays is to keep our mouths full, so we don't have to talk to our families.
That's pretty legit.
Yeah, that's my big thing. To our European listeners, kind of what generally happens on Thanksgiving is Americans make a bunch of food around a bird that's nigh impossible to cook properly. And then what we do is we take bread and vegetables and we puree them into various different forms of mush that we put onto a plate and then cover in gravy and then shovel it into our mouths.
It's like super poutine.
Yeah.
And pie.
And pie.
And pie. Lots of pie.
And then what we do is we always have like an argument leading the lead up to Thanksgiving and after Thanksgiving about how our family's traditional food is so much better than, you know, someone else's family's traditional food. Like, for example, my wife puts sausage in the stuffing. It's fucking bullshit.
That's garbage.
That's what I say.
Sausage and stuffing?
That's
heresy.
Yeah, no, that's what I... But I actually... I'm trying to change my family tradition. We're cooking up some new foods here and there for this Thanksgiving. I told my mom, I go, Mom, it's mush every year on the plate. Just mush next to mush next to mush next to turkey. Let's put some different textures in this, please.
I mean, I like turkey though.
Oh, I love turkey. You know,
the best part is turkey sandwiches.
Yeah, you think? I'm not a big fan of the turkey sandwich.
The leftover turkey sandwich, by far the best.
I'm not.
Some mayo, some lettuce, some tomatoes, some chopped up turkey. Bam. It's
chopped up turkey.
Bam.
Bam.
And you can eat it with some mashed potatoes.
So, you put the mashed potatoes on the sandwich.
I'm not a big fan of that.
I don't know. I like french fries on a sandwich.
That's also kind
of
weird.
I like that. That's a very Pittsburgh way of doing things.
I was over in Pittsburgh. They had this
You can't do a Pittsburgh.
I'm not from Pittsburgh. I said I was over in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
They had this dog. They called it a hot dog, but I said, what the hell is this? There's corn on it.
There's corn
so
on
I
it.
Threw it right back in his stupid face. And I said, I'll show you how to make a Chicago dog. And I punched him right in the balls.
Punched him in the balls. And then I opened up the celery salt and poured it all over the hot dog. Because for some odd reason, we like that
that's
in Chicago.
That's how it's done.
Did no one ever question the celery salt on the hot dog?
I like the celery salt on the hot dog.
I do too, but I don't know if I like it just because it's good or because that's just the way I've always eaten a Chicago style
fucking,
hot dog.
It's fucking good.
it's fucking good. You shut your mouth.
you shut your mouth, you hoser.
So anyway, let's get to some actual gaming stuff instead of just talking about food because I just ate some McDonald's breakfast and I'm not feeling it right now.
Yeah, it's because you ate McDonald's.
I know.
That's a dangerous gambit every time.
My wife came home last night at like 2 o'clock in the morning. So she was at a birthday party for her friend in the city. And then I was like, so you can make me breakfast this morning? She's like, no. And I go, well, it looks like I'm going to starve now.
Should have went to Burger King.
But just wait, you know, you get married and all of a sudden you're just like, I just don't want to cook anymore. And then it kind of goes away, like your ability to cook. It just disappears. Well, it might not your ability to cook, but your desire to cook for yourself.
I mean, if I really don't want to, I can just always walk over to 7-Eleven, that's like 3 minutes away.
Yeah, there's a McDonald's 3 minutes from my house. That's what I'd say.
I couldn't do McDonald's, though.
No?
No. McDonald's, every time, monstrous diarrhea.
Thank you for that.
No problem. I figured we didn't say the word diarrhea enough on the podcast.
Hershey squirts?
The Hershey squirts. Yeah. The green apple quick steps.
Oh, the good old brown luge.
The trots.
The trots. So anyway, we're going to, since this is our Thanksgiving episode, we're going to talk about the things that we are thankful for in the gaming world. And so that, Steve, that does not include the Danger Zone.
It's fucking garbage.
Unless the Danger Zone is a gaming store.
Steve, that would be a sick name for a fucking
gaming store named the Danger Zone.
Thanks for calling the Danger Zone.
They walk in the store. Hey, you just entered the Danger Zone. See? It nice. Works.
Yeah, it'd be pretty sweet.
Instead of like all those other like gaming store names like Playtown or Diceville. You know, place like that.
I could go on a very long tangent about gaming stores, but let's just say that there's like a million billion stores that have the same name.
What's the name?
There's multiple, but like Dragon's Den is one of them.
Oh, the Dragon's Den. Yeah, I can see that.
There's so many fucking stores that are named the Dragon's Den.
Frodo's of Shelbyville? The Android Dungeon?
The Android's Dungeon. Actually, I don't know any store named the Android's Dungeon. I don't think anyone's actually used it. I'm like, why?
It's probably because it's copyrighted by The Simpsons, and it's probably, you get sued, boy.
That's right. You want to get sued?
You want to get sued. All right, but before we get into like what makes us thankful for this gaming world, let's talk a little bit about just some of the stuff that's coming out Kickstarter style. I know right now, there's not a super ton, unless you know a lot of RPG stuff.
Oh, we put up most of the stuff on our
on the Facebook page. Yeah, but I know Drake Miniatures, who did their Kickstarter, is finally releasing some of their stuff, and it looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a super huge fan of their painting style that they did on the website. I don't know, did you see them?
I only saw the splash page that was like, this stuff's coming.
Yeah,
it looked fine.
It's once again, it's kind of one of those things where it's just like, just get someone good to paint this stuff. It's not bad. I mean, it's better than 99% of the stuff I see, but it's, or maybe let's say 75% of the stuff I see, but it's just like, it's still like, come on, you want to sell this shit, make it look super pretty. Make it look like the average asshole painter could paint this shit.
I mean, they did sell it entirely based on beat red 3D models.
I know.
Like, yeah. I don't think anyone cares.
Well, I know no one cares because most people are going to be like, I'm not going to paint this shit. Look, my Dragon Rider. Whee!
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. I'd just be like,
my beautifully painted army just gets trounced.
Every time.
Well, Warlord Games is the same way. They just put out that Judge Dredd minigame. And first of all, I think the figures look awful. But besides the point,
the dude in the boxer shorts is hilarious. It's like, why? Why is this judge wearing boxer shorts with hearts on it?
You know, it's part of the fucking problem with the British. You know, it's one of the many problems with the British, and part of the reason why we split from them in 1776.
Is Judge Dredd?
Is Judge Dredd in 2000 AD. It's such a cool concept. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, this sounds fucking awesome. And then you see the movie Dredd, and you're like, oh, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah,
but then you actually
totally was.
Then you go read the comics, and you're like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
Well, the old stuff.
Not even. Like, even the newer stuff.
There's a brand new one that's pretty good.
No, even still, you go and look at like the like maybe there's that brief run where Garth Ennis was writing for him.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and then you got like everything else. You're just like, what the fuck is what?
Dude, it's comic books. All comic books are like that. You read them and you're just like, oh, what the fuck? I used to like this?
I know. It's like, I can't believe a whole nation of people like this.
Yeah.
They also like their meat boiled, so who's knows?
I like corned beef.
Well, yeah. It's like the one good thing.
Corned beef's fucking delicious.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the one good thing. But anyway, the Judge Dredd minis just... You look at the Warlord website, and they don't have very nicely painted stuff as is. I don't know who paints the stuff for Warlord. It's very, very historical painted. Like, you look at it, it's like the same way that it's got these, like, really harsh highlights and everything. And you're just like, ew.
I thought the Judge Dredd minis looked totally exactly like they should, because they look like Judge Dredd.
I don't know. I think they could have done better.
Well, they didn't go for the realistic, like, movie version. They went for the goofy comic version where he's, like, got neon green gloves.
But they had
and
they have those stereotypical warlord poses that always bother me, where it's, like, the guy's, like, he looks like he's... it's hard to describe on the podcast, but let's see. I'm gonna do the pose for Steve and see if he
Is it the dropping the deuce pose?
There's that pose, which is awful. But I'm gonna see if Steve can elaborate on this pose and like, describe it for you guys. It's...
All right, let's see. All right. It's second edition Warhammer 40,000. Every single character ever sculpted.
No, that's with the this.
Oh no, something like that. No. Yeah.
With the it's like your arms are spread. Take your arms and pretend like you're crucified, and then take your left arm and lift it slightly above your head.
And lower your right arm.
And lower your right. But your right arm's got the gun. That's the thing. And then spread your legs out to a point where it's almost uncomfortable, and you feel like you're gonna start going to the splits. And then lift up the balls. Then stand on the balls of your feet. Not your heels, but just lift your heels off the ground. That's the pose that Warlord loves to do for some odd reason. And it's like the guy's going like, shoot me in the chest.
Maybe he is.
Yeah.
Maybe he's fed up with the world.
And maybe he's like, I'm in a fucking Judge Dredd game. Kill me now. Please. And I looked at the rules and everything, the quick start rule set. And I'm just like, you know, I'm too fucking old to be playing games like this anymore.
The rules look like a hot mess.
I was, and this is coming from a guy who's going to be, who ordered a lot of the, Kings of War, not Kings of War. What was the one cool mini he did? The Kickstarter they did.
There's a lot of them they did.
Yeah, the latest one they did. It's not Kings of War. Kings of War is Mantic, right? Yeah,
there was Relic Knights, Zombicide, the fucking base, or the fantasy football one.
Now this is
Soda Pop. This miniature is Super Dungeon Explorer.
This is the one they just did. It's like
Wrath of Kings.
Wrath of Kings. Thank you. King of Wrath, yeah, like, Wrath of Kings, Lord of the Rings, Rings of War, you know, all that bullshit.
Yeah, I could not...
Wrath of Kings, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Wrath of Kings looks like it's just as complicated and like, just like, oh, Jesus, what the fuck?
Convoluted nonsense.
What the hell did I get myself into? Oh, yeah, cheap minis. But that's kind of how I'm feeling right now. But yeah, that's... when I'm looking at the Judge Dredd, I'm like, ugh. And Warlord is such a fucking British company. Warlord is definitely the successor to Games Workshop. In fact, in many circles, we're starting to call Bolt Action World War II, 1940K. You see what we did there?
I did.
You like that?
Yeah, seems fine. So can I battle my Space Marines against your Frenchmen or whatever?
I got Soviets.
Can I battle my Space Marines against your Soviets?
Such is life in Russia.
Burn, heretic. He has a duck gun, apparently.
Flamer is so warm in comparison to harsh Siberian nights. For the Emperor.
Emperor.
Yeah. All right, so what else? Oh, yeah, and speaking of which, there is
Ravenloft.
Stop it with your Ravenloft.
No, you cannot stop me.
I swear to God, on this podcast, you said how you didn't like Ravenloft.
No, I like Ravenloft.
Mm-hmm.
You're incorrect, sir.
All right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Westwind is putting out their 15mm Ancients game.
Seems sweet.
It actually looks really nice.
Yeah. I mean, 15mm is a sweet scale.
I'm not huge on 15mm. It's just like, it's too big to be like... really easy to paint, and it's too small to look really cool. It just never looked right to me.
The figures look pretty damn good.
It's better than like 12 millimeter or not 12, 18 millimeter, which I saw a company do.
That's really weird.
Why would 18? You do 18 millimeter? It makes no sense. Mm. Like, I've been dealing so much lately with commissions and people dealing with these weird ass scales. 18 millimeter. There's a Polish game that's all about, you know,
tchotchkes.
Yes, tchotchkes. Klotchkes.
Klotchkes, that's the thing.
Klotchkes.
That's the word I wanted to say.
Yeah, little jelly-filled cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah, klotchkes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm aware. I eat them every Christmas.
Yeah, that's the one.
But it's all about, like, Renaissance, Eastern Europe, wargaming. I know you're like, just, Steve, what are you doing with that gun? Put that gun down, Steve. Why are you putting that gun to your temple, Steve?
Sorry. No, it's going to my balls. Oh, my balls.
Why did I do that? It was not worth doing over an 18-millimeter Eastern European game. But yeah, it's like, why do 18-millimeter? It's stupid. And then, like, I'm dealing with World War II stuff. I'm like, oh, this model looks awesome. Oh, it's 20-millimeter. Fuck. They do 20-millimeter because they make the tank models on 1/72nd scale.
Okay.
So 20-millimeter matches with that. So it's just annoying as fuck. As fuck, Steve. But yeah, I can't get into 15 mil. Every time I'm trying
is this
to
like get into knights it. And catapults.
It's Rome. Like every fucking historical game,
you have your start Rome. You have to start with Rome.
You do. You have no choice. You're like, I think I'd like to do the Carthaginian. No, you do Rome.
I want to do a caveman miniatures game.
It's called Ook Ook.
No.
No.
It's called Ugga Bugga.
Ugga Bugga, okay.
Yes.
Ugga Different Bugga. Than Ook Ook.
Yes. Ook Ook was this. Ook Ook will be second edition.
Oh. Ugga Bugga, yeah. Second edition, Ook Ook.
Yeah, no, you have your little cavemen and you move them around the.
Do they have bolters?
No, they don't have
then
bolters.
No one's going to play it.
But hang on. You move the cavemen around your miniature battle scene, and then when you find the other cavemen, the whole deal is you're having a war, but because you're cavemen, most of the time you're just rolling to see if you get killed by something horrible while you're trying to move around. So it's like weather. You know,
dysentery.
Yeah, dysentery, giant animal, something along those lines.
So some sort of megafauna.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a giant beaver. Ah!
Yes, exactly. The mega sloth has rolled through the battlefield and no one wins.
Megatherium has stepped on you.
Just cutting you in half with its claws. Yeah. And then there's the Pyme Pterodox roll where T-Rex just like busts up out of nowhere and eats you.
No, you have to sing it right. Jurassic Park.
No.
It's a place with dinosaurs.
No, putting words in it is wrong.
Actually,
literally worse than Hitler.
Okay. I don't know if I've talked. Have I talked about this on the podcast? But anyway, John Williams, when he's writing music, he actually told. He wrote about this. He goes, the way that I come up with my themes is I take the title of the movie and I make a theme around the title. So Jurassic Park, like, da, 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 da. He actually was like, it's Jurassic Park. Da, 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 da. That's how he does it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Whatever. John Williams can suck my balls, bro.
John Williams can suck my balls. There was a, I can't remember. I wish I could remember the interview with it, but it was fucking hysterical. Like the Superman theme song. It's like Superman. That's how he does it.
All right.
It's fucking awesome, Steve.
Whatever. Don't care.
So it's not worse than Hitler to put lyrics into a song.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Be that way. Be that asshole, Steve.
It is.
Be that asshole.
I'm literally worse than Hitler.
You're literally worse than Hitler.
Yep.
That's what I tell Tim when he's playing his Soviets against and his Germans against me.
He's literally worse than Hitler.
Literally worse than Hitler. Because Hitler was able to win some battles.
Oh.
Oh. Not against the Soviets. The Soviets, we get killed everywhere. Such is life in Soviet Russia.
I have potato, M1 tank, a rifle, some water. I'm ready for war.
By the way, did you see the minis I put up of, like, the alternate World War II stuff where everything's animals?
No, I saw the rats. I didn't see anything else.
The Soviet rat. Why do people who would buy this?
Are there actually more than just the Soviets?
Yeah, there's the Germans are like crows and everything else. Here's the thing, Steve.
The Menschemeise.
Who would buy
Das Alderkor? That's pretty sweet.
Who would buy figures for World War II that are animal anthropomorphic animals in World War II uniforms. Like, what would possibly...
Menchemice.
Like, here's the thing. People are actually buying that shit. Why are they buying that shit?
Bullshirettes.
Bullshirettes.
That's fantastic.
But tell me, why would people buy this?
Oh, they're cheap. It's kind of funny.
I know, but I mean, why? You know what I think it is? I think it's like the equivalent of like when you've just masturbated too damn much and nothing's exciting you anymore, so you look for that really weird shit to masturbate to. Like the stuff that you're not proud that you masturbated to. That's what that is. Like you're so burnt out on minis that you look for the weird stuff that's going to get you going again.
Maybe.
And then you're a little ashamed that you bought it.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, they look pretty funny. I mean, it's just for historical minis.
I know, but I mean, like, it's...
All right. Fair enough.
Well, I mean, like, what is it? Like, the dark...
Maybe it's for people who were just really like Watership Down, bro.
Watership Down. Isn't that rabbits?
There's other animals in Watership Down.
Oh. But anyway, there's the...
I think the main's just rabbits, but there's other animals.
Yeah. I never really read Watership
Down.
It's
fucked up.
I've
actually pretty fucked up. You think it's going to be a kid's movie, and it's like, nope. Not at all.
Yeah, I've never actually watched it that much.
It's like, this will be a kid's movie. It'll be happy and fun. No.
Rabbits attacking each other. I've seen that scene, the one that everyone always... like, oh, I'm scarred for life.
I'm a scurred.
What's the other one that people always freak out about? Secret and Nim? Is that it?
Secret and Nim.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
It's like, this scarred me when I was a child. I'm like, you know what? I watched it when I was a kid. I wasn't really that scarred. Am I that fucked up of a person, or are you just a pussy? I don't know.
I mean, I like Secret of Nim.
I know. I do, too.
No.
It never scarred you for life, though.
No movie scarred me for life.
Yeah, exactly.
Not even those snuff films that I had to watch in that one guy's basement.
Or that what I had to participate in.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that, but... I said nothing I watched ever did.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like the people who always like, I cried every time Artex died.
I cry every time. I cry every time.
Like this if you cry every
like
time.
Like this if you cry every time.
Like when Artex dies in the Never Ending Story, spoilers, it's like I cried. You know, it's like maybe once you get upset.
Atreyu!
Maybe you get upset like when you watch, but I've seen the Never Ending Story about 100 times. I'm not going to cry anymore when Artex dies.
I cry every time. Where's my sandwich?
These hands are big, strong hands.
Use them to make me a sandwich.
I bit into the rock, and there was nothing there.
Oh, man.
I love the rock biter. He's my favorite.
Sweet.
Da-na. Tell me what you see. Na 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 na. Come on, Steve, you know it.
Turn around.
Tell me what you see.
Actually, Never Ending Story is not one of the theme songs that I just really remember. I mean, obviously, I have the basic.
Never Ending Story.
Right, that part,
story.
But not as good as you'd think I would
remember. Na 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 na. I love that song.
Yeah.
I love that movie. That movie's great.
Yeah, that movie's pretty good. The best part of that entire movie is a part that no one like even cares about or remembers, but it's the thing that I remember the most about that movie. It's when the little kid is fucking laying on the floor with the big book.
Yeah.
And he's reading and he's like just destroying the sandwich. And he looks at the book and he's like, he looks at the sandwich and he's like, no, no, we've got a long journey ahead. I've got to save this for later. And he, like, wraps up half the sandwich. That's my fucking favorite part of that movie. I'm just like, yes! Fucking sandwich! Like, that part of that movie, man. It's fucking unreal. So I do that at work all the time. Like, if I'm walking by with a sandwich, I'll be like, no. No. I've got a long journey ahead. Got to save this for later. Yeah, part's the best.
I went with my wife and Pat B and his wife to... Six Flags Great America once, not too long ago, and we went on the Batman ride. And if you haven't been to Six Flags Great America in the Midwest, the Batman ride is you kind of sit, like you sit in a chair and your feet are hanging down.
Yeah, your feet dangle.
So me and Pat were like, let's go sit up in the front. So we ran all the way to the front and, you know, got up in the front and sat there. And the entire time as we're riding in the front, I'm going, yeah, with a fist pump in the air like I'm riding the Falcor. And Pat just couldn't stop laughing the entire time.
Dig it.
That's my favorite part of the movie, is when Bastion shows up riding Falcor, and Falcor just goes, and the bully chases the bullies down. They have to jump in the alley.
Bastion, need a name.
Say my name, bitch.
Ass face McGillicuddy.
Titty sprinkles.
Tits McGee.
Yeah, and this is our princess, named by the savior of our realm, Tits McGee.
Chesty LaRue.
Chesty LaRue. Hootie McBoob.
Hootie McBoob.
Hootie!
All right, so I don't know where the hell I was going with the writing story.
I don't know. It was because of those historical anthropomorphic animal minis.
Oh, goddamn, fuck those minis.
They're bad.
We were talking about somehow you got on the turtle from that writing story.
Yeah, that's the turtle.
That's your Bane voice.
It's kind of, they're really close. It's like the turtle's kind of just really, really old Bane.
Yeah.
Because if you go with Bane, you say, listen to me. I am Bane. I'm going to break your back, Joe. But if you just do the older, it's me, the turtle.
You're going too deep. It's like a little more wheezy.
Eh.
I'm just saying. I'm gonna criticize you.
Eh.
I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna do that. All right. So yeah, let's talk about some of the things that we're thankful for this Thanksgiving, Steve. This is things that we're thankful for the gaming in the gaming world. We're a negative podcast. A lot of people comment on our negativity about a lot of things.
Yes.
And so we're gonna talk about some.
That means we're doing it right.
We're doing it right. We're gonna talk about
doing it right. No 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 doing it right. No 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 doing it right. No 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 doing it right.
Maybe we can have an episode like that last episode of Newhart.
Where we wake up in the morning.
Where we wake up and we're in a different podcast.
We wake up and like, oh, Steve, I had a terrible dream. I was doing a podcast about gaming.
No, no. We wake up and we're an exclusive 40K gaming podcast. We're like, I dreamt we really hated 40K and played other games.
I wish we were in a 40K podcast. People would be listening to us then.
It's not worth it, Joe.
Oh my God, have you seen the ratings on some of these podcasts?
It's not worth it, Joe.
It's oh man, some of these people, like, fucking, I wish we were a 40K podcast, because for some odd reason, like, if we just sat here and talked about, like, new rule books and I don't know, like,
codexes.
Yeah, our new codexes and our battle reports, people would fucking listen to that for some odd reason. No, I want to talk about nothing but, I want to do TV theme songs and talk about anthropomorphic Mike's miniatures. Why? Because I am a glutton for punishment. But anywho, we're going to talk about some of the things that we're thankful. We're going to be positive about this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so disgusting. Multiple ups. So I'm gonna start off, and I was thinking about this. One of the things I'm very grateful for is the historical minigames are making a comeback in the mainstream. There's a couple companies that are putting out some really good historical stuff that I think are turning a lot of people who are traditionally into the fantasy 40K style gaming into more historical gaming players. And it's just different and it's fun and people are doing a lot more with it. The minis aren't shit anymore. And you know, it's a growing presence online. And that's one of the things I am thankful for. What do you think about that, Steve?
I don't know. I don't really like historical games or minis.
No?
Nah.
Nah. Well, what's one of the things you're...
It's like the opposite of what I'm thankful for. It's like, nah, don't like that. Too many of those.
There's not too many of those.
There's one. There's too many.
You should play Bolt Action. You'd like Bolt Action.
No.
Chain of Command.
No.
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 No. All right, what's one thing you're grateful
Kickstarter.
For?
Kickstarter.
You're grateful for Kickstarter?
That's it. Kickstarter. It encompasses everything. Because almost all of the games that I'm really excited about are all from Kickstarter.
Yeah?
Yeah, like Kingdom Death, Kings of War. They haven't run a Dark Age Kickstarter yet, but they will. And then most games I've been playing have been from Kickstarters.
Yeah?
So it's kind of like everything.
Zombicide?
I think Zombicide's a pile of garbage, but I mean, it's popular.
You don't think it's a pile of garbage. It's just you originally thought you didn't like it, and then over time it's festered in your head to it's eventually become a pile of garbage.
I'm not a fan of Zombicide.
No?
Mostly, it's mostly unforgivably boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really bad.
It's really bad.
It's really bad. I don't like it.
People love the Zombicide.
Maybe the expansions will make it better, but meh.
Yeah.
I won't play it.
All right. So the next thing I'm grateful for. Well, I mean, let me on the Kickstarter. I'm also grateful for Kickstarter in a lot of ways. I'm grateful that it's actually.
Oh, and Surrender the Bible board game.
Yes. I like that it's brought a bunch of new games out there that normally wouldn't see the light of day, and at least it's made us aware of them. Like, it's really difficult for a lot of games to get out there, so like, there's a lot of things that have come out on Kickstarter that have just been, like, unbelievable. Like, Kings of War. I know Kings of War from Gen Con, shit, their first, before they put out their elves. Like, they were a little tiny booth, they had the little plastic elf sprues out there, and they were like, here, take an elf sprue! And, you know, I think... Probably 2006, 2007, maybe. No, it would have to have been 2009 because I just moved into my house. And I was like, oh, this is neat. But then, you know, and I had seen them growing a little bit at our LGS, and they were getting a little more popular. But then they did the Kickstarter for Kings of War, and they became a household name. You know, massive, people knowing what's going on with them.
Right.
And that's what I'm grateful for. It's able to do stuff, and that, as you say, is leading to the death of a thousand cuts from Games Workshop, is the fact that there are these companies who are like, hey, you don't have to play 40K. You don't have to play Fantasy.
Yep.
You don't have to play Malifaux. Thank God. Because I don't think I'd be playing these games anymore if it was more Malifaux involved in it. There's that guy wearing the Dr. Seuss hat who's like, fuck this podcast.
Malifaux's the best. Why is he singing the Gremlins song?
Because I always just think of like that music, whatever, for some odd reason.
Because it's Danny Elfman, maybe?
Yeah, pretty much. Right. Danny Elfman music.
Danny Elfman, I mean, he is superior to the other guy.
Danny Elfman.
What the fuck?
Danny
Elfman. You just said his name.
John Williams?
John Williams.
You're full of shit.
Yeah, Danny Elfman's way better than John Williams.
You're full of shit. You should die in hell.
Do you know why Danny Elfman's way better than John Williams?
Why?
Because he is.
Not because of Oingo Boingo.
Actually, yeah, it's actually totally because of the song Little Girls.
Yeah. I like little girls, they make me feel so. But anyway.
Yep, that's why he's better. And he'll always be better.
I think.
And also the fist fight they had on a roof in a stormy night.
Oh, between John Williams and Danny Elfman?
Yeah, Danny Elfman won that.
Oh, so, did he?
Yeah.
I thought it was a draw, personally, yeah. Myself.
It was for the bragging rights.
It's like
he got him with a swift uppercut.
He picks up John Williams as like the lightning flashes in the background and the rain's pouring. And he just throws him off the roof.
He just sings the Batman song while he throws him.
In all honesty, that's the only score that I actually like Danny Elfman has ever really done that I've really liked.
Oh, Beetlejuice is really fucking good.
I mean, Beetlejuice is decent, but the entire score of Batman is really, really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, Beetlejuice is decent. It was right before the Batman one, so he was getting on that. Now he's just lazy.
Also, Danny Elfman didn't do anything to do with the Star Wars prequels.
That's true as well. You know what, though? The music... Think about this, though.
Darth Maul! Darth Maul!
See what I'm saying?
Darth Maul!
The music for the prequels was...
I'm just shitting with you, man. I don't fucking give a shit about composers.
No, I'm just saying, though. The music for the Star Wars prequels was, like, the best part of the Star Wars prequels.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a...
I mean, the double lightsaber fight was pretty sweet.
But the pod race scene was pretty cool.
But the power of myth.
The soundtrack was a pearl in that big pile of shit. Anyway...
But it was pearls before swine.
Pearls before swine. Like peas to white pearls. Or white peas to pearls. Something what? Like that. I forget what the classic saying
what?
Is. What? What? LOL.
Lol.
All right, so we were talking about Kickstarter and why we're thankful for Kickstarter.
Yeah, that was my contribution of games thankfulness.
You want to know what something? Here's something controversial that I know you'll disagree with. What I'm thankful for, I'm thankful for Games Workshop's new paint range.
The tiny little technical paints.
All of the paints that Games Workshop has put out when they switched over like 2 years ago or however long it's been, like a year and a half ago, I have really really liked. Not only the consistency, but I've liked the colors. I've liked the actual bottles they come in. And I've loved everything they've done with the technicals as well, including the little sandy paints that they use. Like they got like the that has like the paint and the sand mixed in.
The glop.
The glop, whatever you want to call it. And the new technicals that they put out, the liquid green stuff. I've loved everything that they've done with it. And you know, over, and this is over a year and a half of me using these new paints, I can honestly say I really enjoy them. I have not had a single paint dry out on me, but I've taken, I take really good care of my paints like that, so I don't have to worry about that too much. I've used, like, the full pots of everyone. And how many times have you ever said that you've used the full pot of a GW paint before it dried out or whatever else have you?
It wasn't a while because they designed their fucking paint to dry out.
Yeah, I've liked everything I've done with them so far, especially the consistency and the colors. I've loved it, every one of it. Yeah, and the new Techniques, I haven't had a chance to really use them, like really gone in and, like, you know, use them for a long time. But I did play with them a little bit, and I really like them. I think they're kind of cool, and I think for getting 10 of them or however many it is, it's worth maybe having for the pot, just for it. I take it back. I did have a pot of liquid green stuff that I didn't use for like 6 months that kind of dried out. Just to let you know there.
All right. I don't really care. I don't use Games Workshop product, so.
I know. It's just.
It's like, okay.
You do it out of purpose, though.
I will not.
Yeah. As much as I say, like, you could be painting an army where it's like you could be using this one specific paint. And I'm like, this paint will solve all of your problems, Steve.
Will not.
And you will not use it.
Nah. Nope. It's like, I don't care. I do not care if it is exactly what I need. I will not use it.
Yeah.
I have a paint. I have a paint range that I'm very satisfied with, and I don't feel any for anything else.
You still using?
I'm using P3.
P3.
Yeah. I tried because I was going through many paints. I did. I tried the Reaper. I tried the Villagos. I tried the P3, and I tried Army Painter. And the two that impressed me the most by like huge margin, P3, Army Painter.
You know what I don't like about P3, and I don't know if this is. They still use the same bottles they've always used, right?
They've had some slight modifications, but they're pretty similar to the same. They're the same ones that they had the patent on it, but I guess like Forge World uses them too for like any of the Forge World powders and stuff.
The powders, yeah. Mm. I just the bottles are too tall. Mm. And as weird as this sounds, it's like sometimes because you know I speed paint a lot. Sometimes they like to like I'll like clip it because I'm not used to how high they are, and because
they're full of a lot of paint.
Yeah, so, and they'll fall over, and I'll be like, God damn it, P3.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah. You get a lot of paint for the money, and I like the liquid pigment stuff. But actually, the biggest surprise for me was definitely the Army Painter. Their wash range is just the best.
Yeah,
the best. It's like
are you talking the wash range or the dip range? Are you talking
not the dip? The dip is. I'm talking about their paints because they have a paint range.
Yeah, I know they have a paint range. Yeah,
and so their paint range.
I wasn't sure if you were talking about the wash or the dip.
The dip we can slide to the side because the dip. If you like dips, it's the best dip.
Slide it to the side and put it in the garbage.
No, if you
and
like,
then go buy some if you inks like, and if you learn like how dips, to fucking paint.
If you like dips, it's the best possible dip you can go with. But that aside.
If you like dips, go fuck yourself.
Dude, dips are fine. They're a fine painting method.
Sure. For people who don't know how to paint.
No, it's for people who want to get their fucking army on the table and not fucking give a shit about painting this guy's silver
people
pants
highlights
blue. People
who want to waste their money.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
See, that's why I've got to play a game against you so I can accidentally just drop stuff on your army and be like, oh, shit, sorry.
I broke your stuff.
I broke all of your toys.
Oh,
actually,
no.
Ideally, I could do it with a metal regiment that I've dipped. just dropped in. Like, oh, sorry, dude.
Oh, no.
Oh, my dipped models are just fine.
They're not even dry. They never still chip. You just dip them before you put them on the table.
They're
so
just glopping
on my figures.
Nice.
Ugh.
But the actual Army Painter paints are nice. They're really nice. They're an exact match for all of their sprays.
Yeah, I like their sprays a lot.
And the paints are an exact match, which is awesome. And
still,
then
still think you should prime your models before you put the spray paint on.
Their sprays are primer.
Still think you should prime your models before you put the.
Well, I don't. Spray. I'm not in for double priming my models. And then their washes are not like the current range of GW washes. They're like the old ones.
Yeah, I like the newer
ones
just because
like
I don't.
Devlin Mud, Bat of Black. They're like a better version of those.
Yeah, I mean, I like the newer stuff. I think it's a little richer in color for Games Workshop, but I can see why people would like the older ones. Yeah. I mean, for consistency's sake, and
not to mention like if you like Devlin Mud or Bat of Black, like straight up the dark. The black wash from Army Painter and the brown one are like a better version of Devlin Mud and Band of Black.
Yeah.
And their red is really nice.
Secret Weapon puts out a good wash range.
I've heard good things about them.
Like, they have a gray wash. Like, who has a gray wash? That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet.
That makes me happy. All right, so it's your turn for something you're thankful for. Because we were just talking about paints. Kickstarter again. You're looking around.
Eggnog.
Steve is thankful for the glorious PC Master Race.
Oh, man. Oh, son of a bitch. Let's see.
That's why I told you to write this down beforehand.
I didn't have anything. Like, I would be writing down a bunch of nothing.
I'm angry at everything. Nothing in my hobby excites me.
Nothing is satisfying.
Nothing is satisfying.
Yes. I was painting for myself the other day, and I'm just like, fuck this. And I fucking just threw my shit back in the closet. And I was like, I'm not doing this.
What?
Yeah.
It's a true story. God, I paint for myself all the time.
I fucking hate it, dude. I hate painting.
Every day, at least for 15 minutes a day, I have to paint something.
I hate modeling and I hate painting. I fucking can't stand it.
What do you do with your life?
Not hobby.
Ugh. Hobby is life.
Build decks.
Shrek is life.
Actually, I put together some Gundams, which is a really good break from...
together some Gundams?
Yeah, which is actually a big break from gluing little mans.
Then did you go online onto a forum and complain about something?
On Gundams?
No, I'm just saying. It's like a typical thing that I always think of people when they put together Gundams. They put together Gundams and complain about things on the internet.
No, I did not go onto a forum.
No?
No.
No. Did you wear a button-down anime t-shirt? An anime shirt?
There's only one person in the world who wears button-down anime shirts. And
No. There's lots of people who wear button-down.
There is one person in the world.
One type of person.
Who wears button-down anime shirts, and you know who he is. He's the only person. Every button-down anime shirt exists only in his own private collection.
Then did you go to that store that's in Fox Valley Mall where they sell all the anime shit and get some, like, Pocky?
No, if you want Pocky, all you need to go is to Mitsuo Marketplace. They have all sorts of fucking Asian delights.
Then did you talk about how much better a subtitle is than the dub? Or how much this fan dub is better than this fan dub?
Fan dub? I would never watch a fan dub. That sounds miserable.
Oh, speaking of models,
sounds miserable as shit.
I know we're supposed to be thankful in this little segment here, but I want to complain about something.
This is already spiraled far out of control.
So, you talk about you put together Gundam models, right? All right. So I'm putting together a fucking truck model, like an actual 1/48 scale model for my bolt action army. Now, I'm like, okay, I have about 10 years experience of modeling. You know, I have all of the tools. I could do this. This isn't a fucking problem. I swear to God, my fingers were covered in glue and, like, cut marks from, like, my blade. I'm like, this is impossible. How did this happen? And I put together the model, and I could see, like, the big blobs of glue that are on the model. I'm like, this has got to be a fluke. This has got to be a fluke. I've never done this before in my life, right? Like, I could put together, like, really nice models and everything like that. But I put together a second one because I got two of the same kit. And the same thing fucking happened again. I'm like, and it was worse. I'm like, God damn it.
Oh, man.
And, you know, this is the thing. My stepfather... has it's weird calling him my stepfather. He and my mom just got married like 2 years ago, but he's like really big into modeling. Like, he does the 1/48 scale, like NASCAR stock cars, and like, we should have a lot in common. We have a lot to talk about because our hobbies are so close but they get
almost parallel
or they almost intersect. But they get so close. It's like the like infinite theorem or whatever it is, where they get like so close together, but they just never cross. There's just like that space in between that we just can't get along between each other. But I'm just like, how does he do this? How does he have the patience and the time to put together this model and not make it look like it sucks?
Skirmish games. I'm thankful for skirmish games.
Oh, there you go.
Because that's a game where I can actually finish what I'm doing. It's like, these 10 guys. Yes.
Then you get finished with two of them, and you're like, fuck this. I'm going to go put together a Gundam model.
I might.
Put on my button-down.
No, I got to. Yeah, you got to paint them. There's a lot of painting techniques you can learn from the guys who do like the real robot style.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's sweet. And then, of course, there's the dude who does the cel-shaded stuff, which is totally out of control, too.
Yeah, that's just way too much effort.
It's a fucking awesome painting scheme. It looks really fucking cool.
Yeah, I like skirmish games as much as the next guy. I just kind of feel like skirmish games... I don't get invested in skirmish games. Like, and I like it. I like the idea of, like, oh, I could put together this unit. It takes me one night to put them together, paint them, and get them ready for the table. Or, like, less than a week to do. And but then I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. And then I get bored. I'm like, I want to go on to something else, and I get invested in something else. This is why I kind of like bigger army games, because I feel more invested.
Yeah, in I them. Just don't get invested in miniatures anymore.
I know you don't, but I do. You
just,
know me.
I just will play. I will play games with them, but it's no longer. That's gone.
It's not gone. You just need something that'll bring you back.
That's gone.
Like bolt action.
No. I won't even bother playing it. It's not going to happen. Stop trying to make fetch happen, Joe.
But, yeah. So, as I'm saying. Okay. Thing I'm grateful for.
Also.
What?
Just to dagger your soul.
What's that?
297 hours.
Oh, on Pokemon?
Is the play clock currently.
297
hours. 297
hours. Okay, now let's think about this. You're one person playing this Pokemon game.
And actually, I'm being out. There's a couple people I know who have outplayed me as far as hours.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, you're not even the top player. But let's say the average player of that Pokemon game, like the average fan of the Pokemon game, puts in about 200 hours, right, at about this point. You think that's about fair?
Maybe less. I don't actually know.
Let's say about 200, because, like... I know these kids have a lot less to, like, you work for a living. These kids, right. They're not doing shit.
There's also a lot of passive play that you can do in the game. Because, yeah. Like, when you're trying to breed, like, you just go back and forth on a straight line.
You heard that right, folks. When you're trying to breed Pokemon in this game.
Because you want to get the best possible team.
To me like animal husbandry, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, while you're doing it, you ride back and forth to get the eggs to hatch. While you're waiting for that. That's like passive. So like you're usually doing something like watching TV or...
You know what I did when I was playing Batman? While you're doing that? Punched villains. I saved Gotham City. You bred Pokemon.
Well, yeah, because I have to climb the online ladder.
You have to prove yourself to these 13-year-olds.
No, mostly the
12-year-olds.
The times I play, it's usually against just Japanese guys.
Yeah, and look what's happening to their culture. No one's having sex anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not having kids. Yeah. You know why? Kids are miserable.
You know why they're not having kids?
Kids are the fucking worst.
You know what? Oh, I love my child.
You can. That's fine. I hate kids.
You know why they're not having kids? Because they're playing Pokemon and they're raising virtual children from their animal husbandry.
They're not children. They're tools of war.
Oh, yes. they're tools of war.
That is what they're for.
There's only one tool in this room, Steve.
I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to call you a tool. That'd be pretty rude.
But the
but if that's the way you feel.
How many players do you think there are of this Pokemon game?
Oh, a fuck ton. Like, way more than ever.
You think more than a million?
Yeah.
You think more than 2 million?
I'd have to look at how many copies sold, because there's...
Let's say there's a million people playing this game.
There's probably more, but sure. It's probably more like 6 million, maybe even more than 6 million.
Okay, let's say 6 million. That even makes it better. 6 million people playing it at 200 hours. That's 1.2 billion man hours put into Pokemon. You could solve every world problem if we were just able to focus that amount of nerd energy into something that's better than Pokemon.
What about World of Warcraft? People put more hours into that.
And even still, World of Warcraft, at least, it has blood and it's got muscle men. It's got some muscle mass.
World of Warcraft doesn't have blood.
And some big, you know, big COD pieces. Pokemon, children's game.
You basically just said World of Warcraft has a bunch of man meat. And I really like looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, you got all that stuff.
But you've never played Pokemon, so you can't actually.
I have played Pokemon.
Have you played this Pokemon?
No, I've not played this Pokemon.
Then you can't actually have an opinion on it. Other than you can say what you observe, and what you observe is wrong.
Oh, wait. So Steve is telling me I can't have an opinion on something I haven't played. That is the biggest hypocrisy I've ever heard in my life. Mm.
I said you can have an opinion on what you've observed, but you can't have an actual opinion based on the game.
Oh, okay.
Because you never played the game.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you, like, oh, this is a historical game. I don't like historical games.
Okay.
I don't care. I'm not saying its rules are bad.
Oh, okay.
Because its rules might be really fucking good. I don't know. I don't comment on the rules because I don't have that. So
maybe Pokemon's a really great game, but it's a Pokemon game, so I'm calling it bullshit.
That's fine.
Okay.
Then you just got to make sure that you can't comment on the gameplay if you haven't played the game. Just like I haven't played, I mean, I'm going to play it, but I haven't played the new Batman game.
Yeah.
But like the only comment I can make on it is be like, well, it's another Batman game.
Yeah. Well, you know? that's when you play it, you're going to be like, well, it's another Batman
it's another
game.
Another Batman game.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the key. You have to, when you comment on something you haven't actually done, you have to make sure that you keep your commentary based solely on observation, not on something that would require interaction with
said
game. All
right, so here's our next contest for Game Classy. I want all of our listeners to pore over our back catalog and call out Steve on something that he's done in the past that violates that rule completely.
Unless it's a Games Workshop product. Unless I hate it's a Games entirely, Workshop. Okay. I just know I was the rules say, were like, bad. That was good. Yeah, no, Games Workshop, but they have shit rules always, so it's kind of like, I bet the rules are going to be bad.
I saw a really great article about, and it made me laugh. I think it was on Bella Lost Souls, where they were complaining about how many more digital codexes they're putting out. So, you know, like the Demon Hunters one, blah, blah, blah. And they're saying, like, it's killing the metagame! And I'm just like, you guys are such wieners. You know, just enjoy it for what it is. I mean, they're like, we can't analyze it because they're coming out too quickly. I'm like, that's what kills the game to begin with, is you guys overanalyzing it. Just have fun with it. Jesus.
Hey, when you try and make a not in any possible way game that's supposed to be competitive. And you make it competitive, guess what you get? You get just butthurt, angry fucking neckbeards is what you get.
Well, yeah, it's. I think a lot of the problems with 40K right now are coming actually from the players as opposed to the rules.
The biggest problem with 40K is almost always the people who play it.
Yeah. Because they're trying to make it super competitive, and it's not. 8th edition is not a competitive game.
40K has never been competitive.
Or 6th edition, sorry.
Ever. There's never been 40K
I don't know.
5th
edition
ever.
Was pretty competitive.
Ugh.
But I'm just saying. And
that was also the parking lot edition.
Yeah, you want to hear something? You want to hear a weird rumor for 9th edition fantasy? Not that
parking
you care.
Parking lots?
Yes. Everyone's getting a Land Raider. Oh, wait. That already happened.
Yeah.
I heard a rumor. Now, take this with a grain of salt.
This is yet another edition of fantasy coming out before all of the armies get army books.
And guess what armies aren't going to get army books this edition?
Bretonians?
No, they say Bretonians.
Wood elves?
They say wood elves and Bretonians are going to be the last two. It's actually going to be Skaven and Beastmen aren't going to get army books for 8th edition.
Whatever. Then they'll release a new Orc and Goblin book for 9th edition and it'll be
no.
shit.
No, this is the rumor. 9th edition is going to only have 4 army books.
Oh, it's going to be like a Forces of...
Forces of good,
disorder, forces of yeah. order. Okay,
they're going to do essentially a.
How would there be 4? There's bad, good, and neutral.
I think there's ancient armies, which is lizardmen, high elves, wood elves, and something else. Mm. Then there's like forces of the old world, which are empire, Bretonians, orcs, goblins, ogre kingdoms. Then there's like the forces of chaos, and then there's one more. I don't.
It sounds like an easy way for Games Workshop to sell a $95 book 4 times.
Pretty much. So
it seems, I mean, it sounds really stupid, so it definitely seems like it could be true. It sounds fucking stupid as hell. Because it'd be like, gee, I have this one fantasy army. If you want the army list for your one army, you need to pay $95 for this hardcover. Who do I sell my army to?
I mean, it's interesting sounding. And I guarantee you the hardcover book is going to sell for $80 because it's going to be... For
I'm feeling 95. Yeah. I think that would 95? Be that would be $495. I'm sorry, $94.99. Yes, that is how much those would be.
$99.99.
That's too many nines.
Damn it! But yeah, that's isn't that weird? Yeah. Okay, and that actually leads up to the last thing I'm grateful for, which is that 8th edition fantasy will be ending next year. So maybe
I think they're gonna make it better.
Maybe they will. You know what, Steve? I'm gonna hold out hope. You know why? Because
hope is for fools.
Hope is for the hopeless. And that's what, you know, 8th edition is to me. It's a hopeless game. And so I have hope that 9th edition will be a much better game that I can play.
Hope is for fools, Joe.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm also, you know what else I'm thankful for? I'm going to go over just because I know you don't have a lot more. I'm just going to go over the last few ones that I'm grateful for, thankful for. I'm thankful that the whole board game... not renaissance system, the explosion of board games has come out. Like, people are always like, I'm big into board games. Let's have a board game night thing. I'm glad it's kind of dying out right now. I think people are still, like, the people who are really into board games, it's still kind of holding on. But I think a lot of that, like, hipster, like, I'm into board games now, it's kind of died off a little bit.
It's not at all, actually.
At least in terms
of... the thing is, people who are like, oh, I'm a board game person, when they actually came into contact with real board games, they were like, But there's plenty of enough light games that appeal to those people that they can play.
Yeah, I mean...
I hate a lot of board games. Like, it just...
Euro games? You hate Euro games. You hate the Cones of Dunshire is what you hate. You hate the Settlers of Catan.
Settlers of Catan is a shit pile.
I love Settlers.
I want to just deuce all over the fucking little hexagon. Just like...
There was a thing on Reddit today. It was like a stupid little comic where they were like, you know, these are the board games that, you know, break friendships. And it was like, they show like Monopoly and then they showed Risk. And they're like, that's cute. I'm like, If you get upset and, like, break a friendship over fucking Risk, you are the worst person in the world, and you should be ashamed
Ukraine
of yourself.
Ukraine is not weak!
Yeah. I love Risk. I love playing Risk. Even if I love playing board games even if I lose. I just don't care. As long as if I play and, like, no one's being a dick, I'm okay. But if a person's being a dick, I'm going to be mad at
have
that
have you played
person.
King of Tokyo?
No, I haven't played King of Tokyo.
King of Tokyo is pretty fun.
Is it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, if a person is being a dick when they're playing, that's a different story. I don't mind losing as long as I'm not being dicked out of a game.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the game. It's all the player. I hate the player, Steve, not the game.
Hmm.
Yeah. But anyway.
Settlers is still miserable.
Well, fuck you then. Thank you. I love Settlers of Catan.
You are more than welcome to have it.
Yes.
You keep it.
And I think I will say that the last thing I'm really thankful for is that...
I'm thankful for super cheap brushes at Michael's.
At Michael's. I'm thankful for the fact that game stores are beginning to reopen across at least the Midwest. You're starting to see more game stores pop up, and...
Dude, it's like a plague of game stores.
Yeah.
they're not starting to reopen. They're actually just spreading across the land like boils
like
across...
Like Nurgle's rot.
They're spreading across the land like boils across an infected old woman's back.
Ew.
Yeah. The pus running down the wrinkles.
Ew. You didn't have to go there.
Oh, I did. And then maybe she can have some bot flies in her head.
Ew.
That stuff's really sweet. You seen that where they're like
I've seen what a bot fly. Yeah,
and
yeah.
There's a giant just cavernous hole in their head, and then like all the leaf stuff leaks out of it.
Oh, it's not that bad.
I wanna get a bot fly.
That's disgusting.
I just want to have it, and I can be like, hey, Joe, check out my baby.
For a guy that hates Games Workshop, you are so Nurgle, it's not even funny.
Hey, check out my baby, Joe. Oh.
Just like throw up.
Squeeze on it, pull out some pus and flick it at you. Oh. Yeah.
Yay. But yeah, there's a lot of game stores. And as I said, a lot of them are going to close very soon just because that's always the way it works. Is you have everyone opens one up, and then like all the shitty ones die out. But that'll leave the really good ones that'll stick around for a while.
In theory.
That's the way capitalism works, Steve. Right there.
In theory.
So hopefully some of the good ones will stay open, and the shitty ones will disappear the way of the old ones. But... aside from that, that's what I'm really grateful for and thankful for this Thanksgiving season, is the fact that I have a place where I can go and play Bolt Action and not get yelled at for saying, those aren't GW models!
Oh, man.
Remember that back in the day? You can't play with that model here. That's not a Games Workshop model.
I never did that. If they brought in a fucking model, I just
remember once I was working, some kids brought in chainmail and were playing chainmail at the table.
That was hilarious.
I was like, what? You can't play chainmail here.
The thing that was most surprising is like, where'd you get chainmail
from? All right. Well, anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at Game Classy. Like our Facebook page. You know what? I'm thankful for our Facebook page. How about that? We didn't mention
them. Dig that.
They give us a lot of good information. They usually want us to make fun of things. Our fans. I remember last week when I said about with the box. I'm like, send me your minis that you don't want anymore. Guy literally emailed me on the next day and was like, you want some minis? I got a whole box of them for you. I'm like, as long as the shipping's okay, as the shipping's not expensive, I'll take it. No problem. And but yeah, I'm thankful for our Facebook page. There's some people on there that are really whiny, and they know who they are. They whine about the same things every time. But for the majority of them, they're pretty good people. And some of them make me laugh quite a bit. And they didn't spoil Doctor Who, this 50th anniversary for me, which made me happy.
I'm somewhat disappointed about that.
I got my shirt on, Steve. You see my Doctor Who
shirt? It wasn't worthwhile. Like, I was going to watch it just so I could spoil it for as many people as possible.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be worth having to watch it to do that.
It was really good.
That's the thing. Like, I'm surprised there's so many people who, like, the trolls out there who, like, go and spoil stuff. It's like, either they're a fan who watched the show and then go on to spoil it, which is, like, seems weird. Because, like, if you're a fan, why would you try and ruin it for a bunch of other fans?
Yeah.
So I can only assume that they are not fans, that they, in fact, hate the thing they're watching.
Yeah.
Which is brings about the most important question is, well, why are you watching it?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like I just said for myself, it wasn't even worth
finding it, downloading it, watching it just to spoil it for other people.
Yeah.
Because I hate it.
Yeah.
Like, not worth it. Just like, fuck it. I will do something. I will take a shit instead.
Kevin from Vinyl Exams came over last night with his wife, and we got some pizza, and we watched it, and we were very excited about
it. I got some bacon and onion pizza yesterday.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It is good.
And then I'm going to watch it again tomorrow in the theater with my wife. We're going to go see it in the theater. The Doctor Who 50th Anniversary Special.
That theater's going to smell.
Oh, it's going to smell like Hootum.
Whoville?
Hootum.
No, Whoville.
Whoville.
It's Whoville.
Whoville.
Your fucking Dr. Seuss characters.
Yes. So anyway, I am thankful for our Facebook page. So go to our Facebook page, like our page. And then we also go to iTunes, like our iTunes. We had some great comments on our iTunes page just recently, mostly about how much people hate the Michigan Poker Hour.
Yes.
And on Tabletop Gaming News, people put on there, like, one of the people who likes the podcast put down there, like, if you aren't listening to this show, you need to be listening to it now, which brought a little tear to my eye.
We're the best podcast since the Michigan Poker Hour.
Pretty much. Well, that's the other. The next one person said it's my second favorite podcast after the Michigan Poker Hour. So obviously they listen to the podcast. So I'm thankful for you guys for doing that. If you haven't done it on iTunes yet, go and put it on there, because the more comments, the more ratings that we get. Like, even if you don't want to put a comment down there, you just want to go and give us 5 stars. Do that, because that's just going to help us in the long run. Getting
like, comment, subscribe.
Yeah, I don't know if you necessarily have to subscribe, but definitely like and comment.
Like, comment, subscribe.
Sorry. Sorry, Steve. And if you want to get in direct contact with me, either for if you want us to, I'll tell you what. In order to raise money, how about this, Steve? We're gonna raise some money this year.
I can't hear you. I'm really, really scratching my balls.
He
hard.
Is really scratching his balls hard for some odd reason. Fuck. If in order to get get some money this year, maybe to help fund the podcast, if you want us to give a message on air, email me, and then we'll see how much. If you want us to sponsor you or give a shout out about any sort of your product or anything like that, even if it's like, you know, Dungeon Jim's dildo whips, you know, we'll sponsor it.
That right, actually Steve? Sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah. Dungeon Jim's.
I'm gonna go Google to see if that's a real thing.
And the domain name is saved.
Fuck, it's Dungeon Jake's.
Dungeon Jake's dildo whips.
Fuck.
God damn it.
Or Dungeon Doug.
That'd be really good.
Yeah, that'd be really good. Dungeon Doug's dildo whips.
Yeah. The triple DWs. So anyway, Steve, so until next week, which will be our 50th episode.
Yeah, I know. We got to do something special for it.
What are we going to do that's special for our 50th episode?
I don't fucking know. Maybe we'll do a stupid giveaway or something. I've got some crap in a box I could get sent to someone.
Got a crap in a box. People don't want crap in boxes except me. I'm the only person who wants a crap in the box.
Yeah, well, maybe some people do want the crap in the box. Maybe they can respond to this and tell us if they want us to do a giveaway for episode 50
or something. If you want to send us a message, you could do it at joe@planetarbitrary.com.
Or you could put it on the Planet Arbitrary page where this is posted, or you can send it to the Fache book or whatever.
We got an online media presence.
Online. That sounds like a fucking bad pitch. It's like, we've got an online media presence on everything. Over 100 people like our Facebook page. Like 100, eh? Wow.
We have 185 people like your Facebook page. Oh, so you're not a 40K podcast.
So you're nothing?
See, because you look at...
you have less likes than most people on Facebook have friends.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
There's a podcast dedicated to just 40K Imperial Guard players that has 600,000 people liking them on Facebook.
It's because they got the las guns. Frame, 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 frame.
So anyways, Steve, until our 50th episode,
2 ripe bananas, 2 cups dairy-free Nog coconut milk, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1 teaspoon vanilla, 8 slices hearty whole grain sourdough or gluten-free bread, vegan margarine, optional cinnamon sugar combined around cinnamon and evaporated cane crystals. Directions: in a blender, combine bananas, dairy-free Nog coconut milk, cinnamon, and vanilla. Pour into a pie plate or wide bowl. Heat a griddle or skillet coated with a thin layer of margarine. Gently dip the bread slices one at a time into the plate or bowl.
What the fuck
allowing
are you
each
making?
Side to soak up mixture for a few seconds. Transfer bread slices to griddle or skillet. Heat each side
French
until
toast.
Bottom is golden brown. Sprinkle with cinnamon sugar and serve hot with your favorite syrup. Makes approximately
4 servings. It's eggnog French toast.
Sounds like shit.
Game classy.